Before a youth minister, church staff minister, associate minister, or volunteer leader begins officiating weddings in a local church context, the First Ministry Act is not performing a ceremony. The First Ministry Act is a humble conversation. Wedding ministry affects the bride and groom, the families, the church, the senior pastor, the church's public witness, and sometimes the church's legal and policy responsibilities. For that reason, a local church leader should not simply say, "I got ordained, so now I am going to do weddings." That may sound confident, but it is not wise. Proverbs 15:22 Webb says, "Where there is no counsel, plans fail, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established." Wedding ministry needs counsel. It needs oversight. It needs clarity. A better posture is this: "Pastor, I sense a possible calling to strengthen our church's marriage ministry. I would like your guidance, oversight, and wisdom before I take any steps." That sentence changes the tone. It does not approach the senior pastor with entitlement. It approaches with humility. It does not say, "I want a platform." It says, "I want to serve the covenant, the couple, and the church." The conversation should include several areas. First, talk about calling. Why do you sense God may be leading you toward wedding ministry? Is this because one couple asked, or is there a deeper marriage ministry calling emerging? Second, talk about training. Have you completed the foundational wedding efficient skills course? Are you pursuing deeper formation as a wedding minister? Do you understand that a wedding officiant leads the ceremony, but a wedding minister serves the covenant? Third, talk about church policy. Who is allowed to officiate weddings connected to the church? What premarital preparation is required? What ceremony elements are expected? What theological boundaries are in place? Fourth, talk about role clarity. Are you serving as a youth minister, staff minister, chaplain, life coach minister, soul center leader, or volunteer? What are you authorized to do? What should remain with the senior pastor or elders? Fifth, talk about boundaries and referral. Wedding ministers may provide spiritual care and coaching informed conversations, but they must not pretend to be licensed counselors, attorneys, abuse specialists, or therapists unless separately qualified. Sixth, talk about civil responsibility. Marriage laws and license procedures vary by location. The minister must verify requirements where the wedding will occur. This course offers ministry training, not legal advice. Here is sample language you can use. "Pastor, I would like to talk with you about a possible ministry calling. I am sensing that God may be leading me toward wedding ministry, not simply to perform ceremonies, but to serve engaged couples and strengthen Christian marriage in our church. I want to approach this under your leadership, not independently. Could we talk about our church's wedding policy? What preparation you would want me to complete, and whether there might be a supervised pathway for me to serve couples before, during, or after weddings?" That is a faithful posture. Hebrews 13:17 Webb calls believers to honor spiritual leadership because leaders watch over souls. In a local church, wedding ministry should not become a private project disconnected from the body of Christ. Avoid saying, "You are too busy, so I'll take weddings off your plate." Avoid saying, "Youth ministry is basically premarital ministry anyway." Avoid saying, "I can handle counseling issues myself." Avoid saying, "This will be a good side business." Instead, say, "I want to serve under wisdom." That is how trust is built. A trusted wedding minister serves the bride, groom, covenant, church, and community with humility. A wedding officiant leads the ceremony. A wedding minister serves the covenant